So thank you once again for joining the mid-morning session. And today we are going to continue our reading of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And today is session number 18. And we are still in book 1. So book 1 is about Narada's travels, meeting different devotees, and we are in book 1. So Brihad Bhagavatamrita is the very essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam that was spoken by Parikshit Maharaj to his mother Uttara after he had heard the Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukadeva Goswami. So this subject matter of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita is pure nectar that is churned out from the Bhagavatam. So throughout the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, you will see that Sanatan Goswami, who is the author of this work, he quotes from various parts of Srimad Bhagavatam, from various cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, and he builds up this most wonderful story of Narada's travels. And again, we should not think it's the story is some kind of a speculation. Rather, the entire set of events was actually inspired by Radha Madan Mohan from Vrindavan. The deity of Radha Madan Mohan actually inspired him to pen down this wonderful set of events, and it was revealed to us by the medium of Srila Sanatana Goswami. So the subject matter in Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita is actually going to get very, very intense now. We have seen so many devotees so far, and now we are going to go further into this work and see some of the most wonderful devotees. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinadarinam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shri Mati Radhanatha Swamin Iti Namine Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shri Mati Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvichesha Shunyavadi Parshayatideshakarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in our previous session, we stopped at a point where Narada Muni was suggested by Maharaj Yudhishthir to go and visit the Yadus. So therefore, based on the suggestion of Maharaj Yudhishthir, Narada decided to go and visit the Yadus in Dwaraka. So as Narada Muni entered this great kingdom of the Yadavas, he saw the Yadavas sitting in their assembly from a distance, and he offered his prostrated obeisances right at the doorstep. Now, this assembly of the Yadavas is actually called as the Sudharma Assembly. So this Sudharma Assembly is supposed to be extremely beautiful, extremely beautiful. And the Yadavas sitting there, they were decorated with very beautiful, gorgeous garments. They were looking very, very bright and lustrous. In fact, the beauty of their bodies surpassed the beauty of the bodies seen of the heavenly beings. It was much more beautiful than what you see in the heavenly planets. And the Sudharma assembly was looking very nice in the presence of the Yadavas, and the Yadavas were also decorated with garlands of Parijata flowers. Now when we hear these two terms, Sudharma and Parijata, we immediately remember that actually both the Sudharma assembly as well as the Parijata flower, the Parijata plant, was actually acquired from the heavenly kingdom of Indra. But when the Yadavas wore these Parijata flowers, flower garlands, and when the Yadavas sat in this assembly of Sudharma, actually the entire assembly was looking much more beautiful than what you can see in the heavenly planets. So why was this? Because everything here was purely in the service of Krishna. So the assembly house, this entire Sudharma assembly house, it is said that anyone who entered this assembly hall, they would be freed from all six kind of material pangs. What are those six kind of material pangs that we are talking about? Anyone who entered the Sudharma assembly would be free from hunger, thirst, lamentation, illusion, old age and death. So as long as one was there in this assembly, there would be no effect of these six material bits. And the Sudharma assembly was capable of accommodating any number of people. So very soon we will see that the Yadavas were so large a number, so huge a number. So any number of people the Sudharma assembly could accommodate. And it was naturally air conditioned. So all possible facilities were seen. The music and dance that was performed for the Yadavas, that was also transcendental. It was equal to what is seen in the Vaikuntha planets, not just what is seen in the heavenly planets, but rather it was equal to what was actually seen in the Vaikuntha planets. And the effulgence that was coming out from the body of the Yadavas was surpassing the effulgence of the sun. So if you go out in the afternoon and you look up directly at the sky, at the sun, the effulgence of the sun will be hurting to the eyes. But this resplendence and the effulgence coming out from the body of the Yadavas was actually very pleasing to the eyes. It was not hurting to the eyes. Why was that? It is because these Yadavas, they were constantly drinking the immortal nectar of Krishna's beauty. Even the most elderly personalities of the Yadavas, they were appearing young and youthful because of this. Because devotional service is like a queen. So when the queen enters, you will see that when the queen comes and gives audience, you will see that the queen is always accompanied by all her maid servants. So basically, when devotional service is there, all the other material opulence follow devotional service like maid servants. So the Yadavas, they appear to be very bright, very happy, very youthful because their minds and their consciousness was continuously absorbed in Krishna. So therefore, the Yadavas looked very, very beautiful. So all the Yadus headed by Maharaj Ugrasena, they all sat there and they were waiting with great eagerness in the assembly of the Yadus. So what were the Yadavas talking at that time? Obviously, since all of them were waiting, they were all seated there, there must be some conversation. So what were the Yadavas talking? So just like how, when you're very relaxed and when you're in the company of the people you like, your relatives, your friends, what would you do? You would be talking about matters that come to your mind very freely, right? Like matters that you like, matters you would want to discuss. Whatever your thoughts are about in the entire day, you will just be talking about it. Like that, the Yadavas, they were simply sitting and chatting about the glorious deeds of Krishna. So because that is what was coming to their mind all the time. That's what their consciousness was absorbed in. So all the Yadavas headed by Maharaj Ugrasena, who was sitting on the throne, everybody, they were simply sitting and chatting about the glories of Krishna. So, and these Yadavas, they were not any small in number. They were extremely large in number. So many Yadavas sitting in the Sudharma Assembly Hall. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 90, Verses 40-41 says, the Yadu dynasty produced innumerable great men of famous deeds. Even in tens of thousands of years, O king, one could never count all of them. I have heard from authoritative sources that the Yadu family employed 38,800,000 teachers just to educate their children. So this is the number of teachers that the Yadavas appointed. And Sridhara Swami, in that particular verse, he comments that this estimate is only an approximate estimate of the number of teachers. And actually the number of teachers for the Yadavas must have been much more. And if you assume that one teacher takes a dozen of students, say about 12 students per teacher, then you can understand the number of school-going age boys in the Yadu dynasty. And if the school-going children, or rather the young children of the Yadavas, you know, counted, was so large, then you can imagine they were only a small fraction of the entire Yadu dynasty. So you can imagine how many people were there in the entire Yadu dynasty. Men, women, children, teachers, everybody. So you can get an estimate of the number of people. Actually, you can't even try to count all of them. So in the Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami, he says maybe, you know, this is an approximate estimation that the number of teachers in the Yadava family was 38,800,000. So you can imagine how large the entire Yadu dynasty was. So they were all sitting like this and they were talking in the Sudharma hall. So at that time, as soon as the Yadavas, they heard that Narada had come, they all went running to the door to receive him. And Narada, from a distance, he had fallen flat, prostrating on the ground. And the Yadus, with a lot of love, they gently lifted him and they brought him inside the assembly hall and they offered him a heavenly seat of honor. You know, they put him in a large seat and they asked him to go and sit there. But then Narada Muni, he had just heard about the glories of the Yadavas from Yudhishthir Maharaj, so his heart was filled with humility and he refused to take the seat of honor. He was just not willing to go and sit like that in front of the Yadavas. And he instantly sat on the ground of the Sudharma Assembly. So seeing such a great sage, such a great personality, sitting like that on the ground, the immediate reaction of all the Yadavas was they also sat around him on the ground and they brought items of worship and they were trying to present it to Narada Muni. So Narada Muni, he was already in a trance. He was so happy that he had seen the Yadavas. So he just bowed down with humility and he began to glorify the Yadavas. He just didn't want to wait a single moment for his glorification. So immediately he began glorifying the Yadavas. So he said, "My dear Yadavas, you are in fact the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy. You are so fortunate. Krishna is living with you here in Dwaraka. You are so wonderful and you are the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy. So therefore you bless me. You just give me the blessing that I can go around this universe and chant your glories wherever I am. Just by your mercy, O Yadavas, you have made this entire earth so wonderful. This entire earth has become more splendorous than Vaikuntha, just by your association. And not only that, the eternal associates of Vaikuntha, like Garuda, Vishwaksena, they are all very, very specially favored by the Lord. But you seem to be more favored by the Lord because you have obtained the special mercy of Krishna. You are continuously associating with Krishna. Krishna has come here on earth and he is performing the pastimes here. And Bhumi Devi, the presiding deity, Dhatri Devi, the presiding goddess of the earth planet, she is so fortunate that Dwaraka Dham has descended here. And she is seeing Krishna's leelas happening here. Bhumi Devi is feeling so fortunate. So you Yadavas, you are residing in Dwaraka Dham, you are seeing Leela Purushottam perform all his pastimes and Krishna seems to have forgotten Vaikuntha and he is absorbed in his pastimes here. Krishna is nicely associating with you, Krishna touches you, he talks to you, he sits with you, he eats with you and he takes part in all the marriage ceremonies of the Yadavas and he enjoys pastimes with you. Great, great yogis in this world, they are trying hard to meditate, to get a glimpse of the lotus feet of the Lord. But you Yadus, with your devotion, you have received so much personal association with the Lord. The Lord is living with you and he is enjoying pastimes with you. This is also confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the words of Yudhishthir Maharaj. So Yudhishthir Maharaj in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, chapter 82, verses 29 to 30, Yudhishthir Maharaj says, "His fame as broadcast by the Vedas, the water that has washed the feet, and the worlds, he speaks in the form of the revealed scriptures. These thoroughly purify the universe. Although the earth's good fortune was ravaged by time, the touch of his lotus feet has revitalized her, and thus she is raining down us on the fulfillment of all our desires. The same Lord Vishnu, who makes one forget the goals of heaven and liberation, has now entered into material and blood relationships with you, who otherwise travel on the hellish path of family life. Indeed, in these relationships, you see him, you touch him directly, you walk beside him, you converse with him, and together with him, you lie down and rest, sit at ease and take your meals. So actually in this verse, Yudhishthira Maharaj was glorifying Krishna about how Krishna's fame is actually broadcast in the Vedas and the Ganges, that emanates from his lotus feet, that is purifying the entire world, and whatever we know about Krishna is what we hear from revealed scriptures. That great supreme personality of Godhead, who's capable of even giving liberation, he has entered into family relationships with you. And he's so casual in his association with you. He's touching you. He's talking to you. He's able to converse with you. And he's sitting with you in ease and he's taking his meals. You, Yadus, are so glorious. So this is a verdict that is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This was told by Yudhishthira Maharaj when he was glorifying the Yadavas. Not only that, Krishna has also attested this. So Krishna tells Satyabhama in the Padma Purana, Ete hi Yadava sarve madgat gana eva bhamini. Ete hi Yadava sarve madgat gana eva bhamini. Sarvada mat priya devi matulya gunashalina. This is Padma Purana 6, 89, 22, 4. This is quoted by both Jiva Goswami as well as Sanatana Goswami. So, Narada, he tells Satyabhama that, these Yadavas, they are extremely special to me. They are greater to me than my own life. They are extremely dear to me. He claims this in the Padma Purana. So Narada then told Ugrasena, Ugrasena is your leader. He's a very, very great king. And everybody is subordinate to Ugrasena. And Ugrasena has received some very, very special mercy by being the leader of the Yadavas. Because in front of Ugrasena, Krishna goes and he stands with folded palms waiting to receive orders from Ugrasena with great reverence. So this Ugrasena, he was the father of Kamsa. And he was reinstalled on the throne after Krishna defeated Kamsa. So Narada Muni was glorifying Ugrasena and telling this Ugrasena is actually very fortunate. Because even Lord Sri Krishna stands in front of him with folded palms trying to be his servant. And he says, Ugrasena, give me orders. I'm ready to carry out your orders. So that is the glory of Ugrasena. So like this, when Narada Muni went on glorifying the Yadavas like this, he went on and on. The Yadavas, when they heard this glorification from Narada, his reaction, they bent their heads low in shame and they touched the feet of Narada Muni. And they told Narada Muni, Narada Muni, why are you offering us so much praise? They are all very low people. We don't deserve so much praise. The Vyadavas, they just couldn't tolerate the praise that Narada Muni was giving them. So actually in this world where we live, it is so hard to actually tolerate insults. It's not hard to tolerate praise, but rather it is very difficult for us to tolerate insults. But we see that here, great devotees that are described in Brihad Bhagavatam Rata, it is a pattern almost. Each and every devotee we have seen, we are unable to tolerate praise. So when a devotee advances, as a devotee progresses in Krishna consciousness, obviously there is going to be a flow of praise towards that devotee. Everyone is going to glorify that devotee. And it is very, very easy to get carried away. it's very easy to get carried away. So the Yadavas, they, when they heard so much praise, they didn't develop any kind of pride. You know, they didn't consider themselves to be great. Rather, they were very grateful for what Krishna had given them. So they had a perfect understanding of what Krishna had given them, the position of Krishna, and how insignificant they were. So a sincere devotee is supposed to become more humble when he is praised, because he becomes grateful to Krishna. He feels like this devotee is simply magnifying my worthlessness. So that is how we are supposed to feel when people praise us. And this comes over a period of time as we develop this quality of humility. So this is something that is very instructive. We see in the case of all these devotees that we have read in Brihad Bhagavatam, when they were praised, they actually felt ashamed of themselves. They thought they were very insignificant. And in fact, they were very thankful to Krishna, because whatever little credit they had, it was only by the mercy of Krishna, because Krishna is so great. You know, they realized the greatness of Krishna, and they realized their insignificant situation, insignificant position, when they were glorified like this. So actually, it is very dishonest to take credit. And this realization, these devotees had. So they told Narada Muni, Narada Muni, you are the son of Brahma. And Brahma is the creator, he is Vakpati. But you being his son, you can even defeat Brahma in your speech. So they said, actually we are not very qualified. But we also acknowledge that there is some truth in your words. You are a great sage, and definitely there is some truth in your words. Even if one is very slightly in touch with Krishna, he becomes very, very fortunate. So whatever you said is actually true, in the sense that we are all very fortunate because Krishna is with us. Krishna's mercy that he gives to us, it is very unconditional. And simply by remembering Krishna, great success is promised. This is there for everyone. If someone remembers Krishna, definitely Krishna, and takes complete shelter of Krishna, definitely Krishna will take care of them. That is very, very true. So whatever you said, there is a lot of truth in that. You know, Krishna is with us. He is giving us so much mercy. But the Yadavas, they said, we are not very qualified. They minimized themselves and they presented a better devotee among themselves. They said, among all of us, it is actually Uddhava. He is the most blessed and he has received the greatest mercy of Krishna. You know, sometimes the Lord leaves us and he goes to Hastinapur, he goes to so many places. But Uddhava, he manages to accompany the Lord wherever the Lord is. And sometimes the Lord also chooses him as a messenger, and he specifically sends Uddhava on certain missions, on certain missions in which the Lord himself cannot go. So Uddhava is always chosen as the fit representative for Krishna. So even when Uddhava is separated from the Lord under such circumstances, when he has to represent Krishna and go on various missions, at that time, actually Uddhava becomes more absorbed in Krishna, because he's so happy that he's able to serve the Lord. Because he has his particular mission in hand, he's trying to please Krishna, he feels very, very happy about it. So actually, if you analyze, among all of us, it is only Uddhava who's actually received the greatest mercy of the Lord. And then they give some examples, just like how Uddhava was sent on behalf of Krishna to release Samba from the Kauravas. So this Samba, he was the darling son of Jambavati and Krishna. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is actually mentioned that amongst all the sons of Krishna that he had with all his wives, the sons of Jambavati, he was very, very fond of, actually. The sons of Jambavati were very, very, you know, pampered by Krishna. So the eldest son of Jambavati was Samba. And what he did was, he went and he kidnapped Duryodhan's daughter Lakshmana. So So it's not Lakshmana, it's Lakshmana, the female version of the word Lakshmana. So Lakshmana, who's the daughter of Duryodhan, was actually kidnapped by Samba during her Swayamvar. And when their daughter was kidnapped like this, all the Kauravas, they joined forces to go and arrest Samba. So when they went and they attacked Samba while he was trying to kidnap Lakshmana, Samba single-handedly, he was fighting with all the great warriors of the Kuru dynasty. But then what happened was about six warriors of the Kaurava party, they attacked him and they deprived him of his chariot and they broke his bow into pieces. They seized him, they tied him up and they brought both Lakshmana and they arrested Samba and they brought him back to the Kuru assembly in Hastinapur. So when Narada Muni, he went to Ugrasena and he complained about what had happened and this message had reached Ugrasena. That time Ugrasena was very, very angry. He wanted to go and fight with the Kauravas. But then Balarama, who's always favorable to Duryodhan and others, he said, no, 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 the Kurus are related to us. Okay, we should not go and fight with them. Rather, I will go on a peace mission. I will go and I will try to solve the problems. So at that time, Balarama, he went with some of his associates to Hastinapur. At that time, Krishna specifically sent Uddhava with him as a very important representative because Uddhava was known for his wisdom. Uddhava was the chosen minister of the Yadus. So therefore, Uddhava was chosen to accompany Balaram to go to Hastinapur to go and release Samba. So like this, the Yadava party, they came in the border of Hastinapur and they camped there in the city, and Balarama, he decided to send specifically Uddhava inside the kingdom to go and talk to Dhritarashtra and find out his frame of mind. So when Uddhava went as a messenger, saying that Balaram has come and we want to talk to you about this, at that time the Kaurava people, they actually worshipped Uddhava, seeing his friendly behavior, because they all knew that Uddhava had very good relationships with Balaram and Balaram himself had come to the city of Hastinapur and he was waiting at the precincts of the city. So therefore, he was received very well. Uddhava was very, very wise. Uddhava was received very well and Uddhava took them to the place where Balaram was waiting. And the Kauravas generally, they had a very good relationship with Balaram. So they went and they honored Balaram with items of respect. But when Balaram gave the message that he demanded the release of Samba, at that time the Kauravas, they got very, very angry. They got extremely angry and they said, it's so amazing that you Yadavas, you're so low and you're trying to order us. We are Kauravas. It's like the shoe that is trying to sit on the crown. You're so low and we are so great. Who are you to give us orders? So this was the reaction of the Kauravas when Balaram was trying to ask for the release of Samba. So when this happened, when Kauravas behaved so badly, Baladev got very, very angry and he decided to destroy entire Hastinapur. So that is when he actually, with his plow, he tried to pull Hastinapur into the, into the river and into the Ganges, and the whole of Hastinapur started shaking and moving. And then the Kauravas, they went and they surrendered to Baladev. And later, Lakshmana was presented to Balaram. Lakshmana and Samba, both of them, they were sent along with Balaram back to the Yadu capital. So this is the story of how during special missions where there is a lot of wisdom required, Uddhava would be chosen to go as a representative for Krishna. So, like this, the Lord, he used to send Uddhava on various missions. He sent him to Hastinapur, he sent him to Gokul, and he sent him to other places as well, and we all know that. Now, Uddhava, he always remained in Krishna's association. But when he used to go on such special missions, he would actually derive very great satisfaction because he had this complete consciousness that he was serving the Lord. So, he would do it in the right consciousness of being the perfect minister. And he would give very good advice to Krishna. Whenever Krishna needed any advice, the first person he would think of was Uddhava. And there is also a pastime in the Srimad Bhagavatam about the conquest of Jarasandha. So we have discussed Jarasandha a couple of times in our Brihad Bhagavatamrita sessions. So when Jarasandha, actually there was a point wherein, first of all, in one scene, Yudhishthir Maharaj was trying to accomplish the Rajasuya Yajna, and the invitation was sent to Krishna. At the same time, Krishna was also receiving complaints from many kings that this Jarasandha had forcibly imprisoned many kings in his fort called as Girivraja. He had a huge fort called as Girivraja, and he had forcibly arrested many kings there. So there were a lot of complaints about Jarasandha. So Krishna was receiving complaints on one side, and he was also receiving an invitation from Yudhishthir Maharaj. So at that time, Krishna was kind of confused. Okay, what am I supposed to do now? Whom should I tackle first? So at that time, Uddhava gave him the perfect advice. Uddhava said, actually, you know what, for Rajasuya Yajna to be successful, first of all, Yudhishthir Maharaj must get complete victory over all the kings. So if Jarasandha is forcing to submit, then first of all, Jarasandha must be attacked and he must be killed. So therefore, it will be a good idea for all of you to take Bhimasena, go, finish off Jarasandha, and then perform the Rajasuya Yajna. So this advice was actually given by Uddhava. So therefore, Uddhava used to always give Krishna perfect advice, and Krishna, according to Uddhava's advice, he arranged a perfect plan and he went ahead and performed both these actions. And it is also explained that Krishna is actually Sarvajna. He knows everything. Does Krishna need advice, first of all? The Supreme Lord, he knows everything. But then that is the special, character of Krishna. Krishna, though he is Sarvajna, he doesn't need any advice, but very lovingly, out of the love that he had for his close intimate devotees, he would actually take their advice very, very seriously. He would sincerely ask, give me advice, and he would take it very seriously. That was the sweetness of Krishna, Muktata. That is very, very, that is something very special about Krishna. Krishna comes down and he's extremely sweet with his devotees. So he didn't think, okay, I am Sarvajna, I am the Supreme Lord, who are you to advise me? No, Krishna is never like that. He sincerely reciprocates with his devotees. Just like how when Yashoda Mai was tying Krishna, Krishna was sincerely crying. It was not that he was acting like that. Krishna, he was sincerely asking Uddhava, please give me some good advice. And in fact, whenever Krishna had to perform sacrifices, or any of the Yadavas had to perform sacrifices, they would go and ask Uddhava's advice as to how to carry out the sacrifice, what you think is the best methodology to do this. They would go and request Uddhava to give them advice. And Krishna was very, very particular about consultation with Uddhava. Now, not only that, when Krishna was alone enjoying his meals, Uddhava was the one who would spend time freely with him. And he would be the first one to receive the Mahaprasad remnants of the Lord. And sometimes when Krishna was tired, Uddhava would lovingly take Krishna's feet on his lap, and he would massage his feet, and he would go to sleep with Krishna's feet on his lap. So like this, so much mercy. And all the time, he would receive praises from Krishna. Krishna would keep praising him for his wisdom. So these were the special qualities of Uddhava. And when he used to serve his master like this, when Uddhava used to serve Krishna like this, he would get ecstatic symptoms. He would get into a mood of ecstasy, and people who saw him in that ecstatic state, they would think he's a madman. People would call him Vatula. Vatula means one who's insane, one who's suffering from an imbalance of the vital airs in the body, of the vatas in the body, is called as Vatula. So sometimes Uddhava, seeing Uddhava in a trance, people would call him Vatula. Uddhava is insane. He's a madman. But actually, Uddhava used to be so absorbed in the thinking of Krishna that he would act like that. And sometimes he would be so absorbed in thinking of Krishna that people would mistake Uddhava to be Krishna himself. Actually, Uddhava looked very similar to Krishna. He would dress up like Krishna. He would take the Mahaprasad remnants of Krishna's garments, Krishna's mala, Krishna's vanamala. He would decorate himself with Krishna's earrings, shark-shaped earrings, pearl necklaces. He would take the Mahaprasad garments of the Lord in loving ecstasy. And people who saw Uddhava, they would mistake Uddhava to actually be the Lord. And in his love, Uddhava, he almost took the complexion of Krishna. No, he also became blackish, rather bluish black in his love for Krishna. So that was the intense love that Uddhava exhibited when he was in the association of Krishna. So like this, all the Yadavas, they glorified Uddhava and they said Uddhava is the most special. And in fact, when we see Uddhava, we mistake Uddhava for Krishna. Uddhava is more beautiful than even Pradyumna, actually. That's how we feel, the Yadavas were saying. Because Pradyumna, he's the son of Krishna. He's the firstborn of Krishna. Rukmini's son is extremely beautiful. He's supposed to be as good, you know, almost as good looking as Krishna. Of course, no one can compare it to Krishna. But still, he was extremely good looking. Even Aniruddha, for that matter. Krishna's son Pradyumna and Krishna's grandson Aniruddha, both of them were extremely good looking and they had very similar features like their father and grandfather Krishna. But the Yadavas said actually Uddhava is even more good looking than, or rather looking more like Krishna than even Pradyumna or Aniruddha. So like this, the Yadavas, they were actually melting, I would say, the glories of Krishna. And when Narada Muni heard such beautiful glorifications of Uddhava, he became very, very delighted. And he immediately wanted to visit Uddhava. So in great excitement, he got up and then he sat down. Again he got up, then he sat down. Again he got up and he didn't know what he was doing. All that he wanted to do was rush and go and see Uddhava. So noting these wonderful ecstasies that was happening in Narada Muni's body, Ugrasena, he wanted to calm down Narada Muni. So he went to Narada Muni and he held his hand and he said, Narada Muni, please wait. Generally, Uddhava never leaves the company of Krishna. So here Ugrasena was trying to indicate to Narada Muni that Narada Muni should not rush to Uddhava's house. Rather, he should go and see Uddhava in Krishna's palace. Because unless Krishna instructs him to leave, usually Uddhava, he never leaves the company of Krishna. So, Ugrasena, he controlled Narada Muni. And then he told Narada Muni, Narada Muni, you were glorifying me, Ugrasena, as being a great recipient of the Lord's mercy. But actually, I'm very degraded because I have accepted this position of being a king. And because I am the king, I am deprived of the continuous association of Krishna. As a king, I must always be on the throne. I have to guard this entire city against enemies. I have so many duties. So therefore, Krishna tells me that, you know, I should be on the throne and I should take care of the enemies. But the truth is that, you know, all this is just eyewash. I am not doing anything. Whatever protection we are receiving, it is actually by the mercy of Krishna. It is only Krishna who is actually protecting all of us. But then he says, you have to stay on the throne, you have to take care of the kingdom, and he deprives me of his personal association. I am not so fortunate. And in the Harivamsa, actually Krishna, he tells Ugrasena a particular statement. He says, Yanmayasva abhishiktasvam matureshu bhavaniti na yuktam manyata kartam maturadipate swayam argyam achamanam chaiva padyam chatani veditam nadatum arhase rajam eshame manasapriya. Krishna told Uddhava, please listen carefully. Krishna told, because I officially anointed you as the king of Mathura, it is improper for you to act in a contrary way. You should not present me with these offerings of Argya, Achamana, Padya waters, dear king. This is my heartfelt wish. Krishna told this to Ugrasena when Ugrasena would go and worship him. See, Ugrasena, he had a very humble demeanor. He never thought that he's the king and Krishna should come and fold his arms and stand in front of him. Rather, Ugrasena would go out to worship Krishna. He would take these items of worship, and he would go and he would try to worship whenever Krishna came inside Dwaraka, or wherever Krishna came, Ugrasena would try to, go and offer him respects. But then Krishna never liked it. Krishna said, "No, you are the king, and I have anointed you as the king. I have made you the king. So you better behave like a king. Don't bring all these items of offering and, try to worship me. Don't do that." But then Ugrasena said, "I feel very bad. I feel very embarrassed when Krishna does all this. I'm actually not fortunate. Krishna treats me like this, and I don't like it. I want to worship him. Rather, he's telling me, don't worship me. I will worship you. He stands with me. He stands in front of me with folded palms, and he says, you give me orders, I will carry out orders. I find it so uncomfortable." So like this, Ugrasena, he was explaining to Narada, and he said, actually, Uddhava is very fortunate, because Uddhava, he is very privileged. He's always with Krishna, and the relationship between Uddhava and Krishna is so casual. Krishna treats him like a nice friend, and he's so privileged to always be by Krishna's side. So you should go and see Uddhava, but you go to the palace of Krishna. Don't go to Uddhava's home, because Uddhava never leaves Krishna's side until he's told to leave. And actually, all of us here, the entire assembly of Sudharma is waiting for its master to come. Krishna hasn't come yet. We are all waiting to see him from morning. It is so late. We are all eagerly waiting. We are all eagerly waiting for Krishna's presence. Krishna hasn't come to the assembly yet. It is so late. We are wondering what had happened. So we want you to go and find out what has happened and why Krishna hasn't come. So along with the eagerness of Ugrasena and along with the eagerness of Narada to go and see Krishna, we are also very, very eager to get the darshan of Krishna in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. We have come across so many sessions of this Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and we have not caught a glimpse of Krishna yet. We have not seen Krishna in Dwaraka yet. So we are also waiting to see Krishna. So every one of us is eagerly waiting to see Krishna along with Narada Muni. So Ugrasena, he spoke. He said, "Please go, Narada Muni. Please go and bring our master here. We are waiting for him." So Narada Muni, along with his veena in his hand, he set off immediately to go to the palace of Krishna in Dwaraka. And even without paying attention to the route in which he was going to meet Krishna in his palace, Narada Muni, without having any consciousness of the external things, he was completely oblivious to his surroundings. He was holding the veena and he was chanting Krishna's name, and he was swiftly going, closing his eyes. He didn't know what route he was taking, but still he was going in the right route very perfectly. So how is that? I'll read this. It is very beautifully explained why Narada Muni, in spite of being so oblivious of his surroundings, he could go in the perfect route to reach Krishna's palace. It is said, it is because when one is conducted helplessly under the control of the pure love of God, one actually understands everything perfectly well. He cannot forget the way to reach the personality of Godhead. I will repeat. It is because when one is conducted helplessly under the control of the pure love of God, one actually automatically understands everything perfectly well. He cannot forget what? The way to reach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he was conducted helplessly by love of God, and hence Krishna actually guided him through the correct route to bring him to his palace perfectly. Though Narada Muni was completely oblivious of his surroundings, Narada Muni was walking like an automatic GPS, he was just walking in the correct route. Sometimes he tipped down, sometimes he fell down, sometimes he was motionless, sometimes his body was trembling, sometimes he was crying. He developed all symptoms of ecstasy, but he went in the perfect route and he finally reached the palace of Krishna. So now that day, for some reason, Krishna was very, very disturbed in his mind. And he was fast asleep in his quarters. It was way past sunrise. Krishna had not yet woken up. He was still sleeping in his palace. And he was extremely disturbed. Uddhava, who was always with Krishna, had left his company and he was sitting in the balcony that was there in the edge of the palace. And Uddhava was not sitting alone. Around Uddhava was Balaram, Devaki, Rohini, the queens of Krishna like Rukmini, Satyabhama and others, and Kamsa's mother Padmavati. Now who is this Padmavati? She's an interesting character. We'll know more about her as we proceed. So this Padmavati was the mother of Kamsa. And there is a story in the Srishtikanda of the Padma Purana about the birth of Kamsa. How Padmavati gave birth to Kamsa. Actually, after Padmavati was married to Ugrasena, for some time she desired to stay with her father Satyaketu. So she went to her father's kingdom, the kingdom of Satyaketu, and she stayed with her father for a short period of time. At that time, there was an associate of Kuvera known as Drumila. Now this Drumila, he saw Padmavati and he was enchanted by her beauty. And he came in the disguise of Ugrasena and seduced her. The child that was born out of this illicit connection was actually Kamsa. So Padmavati having Kamsa was actually through an illicit connection. Padmavati was seduced by this demoniac person, Drumila, and who was actually an associate of Kuvera, and hence she gave birth to Kamsa. So this is Padmavati. Padmavati is the mother of Kamsa. She was around. She was also there. And Baladeva was there. Mother Devaki was there. Rohini was there. The queens of Krishna were all there. And all of them were around Uddhava. And everyone was very serious. They appeared shocked. And they were very, very silent. So they were seriously worrying why it's long past Krishna's waking up time. And they were concerned why Krishna had not yet come. So at that time, Narada Muni, in his ecstatic state, he arrived there. So let's stop here for this class and see what happened after that. Why was Krishna still on bed? Why were all of them so shocked? And how did they receive Narada Muni? What did Narada Muni do after that? And we'll also get darshan of Krishna in Rasbhagavatam. So any questions, comments, realizations, corrections, please go ahead. Hare Krishna. Thank you for listening.
Hare Bol, Mataji. Hare Bol. Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol.
Such a beautiful class. I really wish you would have continued more. I was also so absorbed in the class, reading Bhagavatamrita. It was so, so, so wonderful. Especially, you know, I like the point that you mentioned about it's so hard for us to tolerate insults. Rather, we should, we should struggle to accept praise. But we so happily accept praises. And, you know, when one insult comes, you know, we get so much disturbed. But this is what we have to learn from these exalted devotees, especially all the characters in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. When Narada Muni approached them, they all thought, oh, he's praising us, so that's not good. Thank you. Thank you so much, Mataji. Such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful class. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Anuat Pranam. Thank you very much. So nice to hear.
I was just trying to make sure everyone is hearing questions, so I did something and it started echoing. Sorry.
Oh, no problem, Mataji. Yeah, I was just saying that it was so nice to hear these pastimes. So many details about Lord Krishna's pastimes and especially about the birth of Kamsa and all these details. especially I am not really bothered to know so much, so it is so nice to hear all these things and to get to know in detail. And stories are always so, so pleasing to hear. Thank you very much for narrating it so beautifully, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you, both of you, Kirtida Sundari Mataji and Sarojanandani Mataji, for sharing the most wonderful realizations that you just mentioned. Thank you so much. Thanks to both of you. Thank you, Mataji, for your association.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasini Mataji. All glory to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Always story time ends too soon. We were just getting into it, and all of a sudden he said, and we will stop here. And we're like, what? No, we can't stop here. We have to wait until the next voice. But wonderful, wonderful, as I get. It's just wonderful hearing all the different, the backstories. You know, the birth of Kamsa, all those things that we don't usually hear regularly. And so that's what's very, very exciting for me. I was also thinking about how what a wonderful relationship that Uddhava has with Krishna, that he's the go-to person. And as you were explaining that, Krishna knows everything. Krishna knows everything, yet he out of that respect, and out of that love, he asks Uddhava's opinion. And, many times even Guru Maharaj is, our gurus always are so eager to connect us, give us service so that we can stay connected. And I just was thinking how nice that is, that relationship is continuing, that trying to engage, that's it, trying to engage everybody in connecting to Krishna in one way or another. So very nice. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Very beautiful. Thank you, Paneshwari Lakshmi Mataji. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dhanu Pranam.
Thank you so much, Mataji. And I was thinking how you were telling in the class how Krishna used to take a suggestion from the Uddhava when he needed. I was thinking how he, because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he does not need any suggestion, but same time how he used to take suggestion from the Uddhava, means he really wanted that, he was giving so much of emphasizing his devotee. So nice, Mataji.
Yes, Mataji, that's very true. Thank you so much, Mataji, for sharing that. Thank you. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. As always, expert narration. Just one question. It was fascinating to hear about the backstory of Kamsa, but was there a specific reason why you told that backstory? If you did, I missed it. Okay. Or was it just because it was interesting?
Okay, so we are going to understand her more of Padmavati's nature as we proceed. Like also the couple of things. One is, yes, as we proceed, we'll understand more of Padmavati's nature. So it was important to understand also how Kamsa was born. And as the story unfolds, we'll understand more into it. That is one thing. And the second thing is also to understand the demoniac nature of Kamsa. If Kamsa was born to a great devotee like Ugrasena, then he should have been slightly better, right? So it also explains his nature because of his birth.
But then on the other hand, I might be wrong, but isn't Krishna the father of a demoniac son?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Narakasura or Bhamasura. Yeah. In his case, yes, he was the son of the Supreme Lord, but still he had very bad association, and hence it is also an example of a person who can get degraded by bad association, though he had such a great birth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Just something that I don't know, I just wanted to add. When you were talking about Kamsa's birth, I
was so much reminded of Ravana's birth and childhood, because somewhat similar was his story, that his mother was so much attached to her father, and so she kind of grew the children there. So they got, that's why, although sage Vishrava was so saintly and he was so nice, but still, why he had sounds like Ravana and because she associated more with her father's family, they were from the, that kind of background.
Family, yeah.
So I was just quickly reminded of that, how much the birth and childhood impact the attitude and samskaras of the child. So important. Yeah.
Very true, very, very true, Mataji. Thank you for adding that. Thank you. Yeah. Early childhood years are so important for a child.
Hare Krishna Mataji, please accept my Dhanavad Pranam. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai. Once again, another nectarian class, Mataji, of your session. So sweet and so wonderful, and always at the end there is a kind of suspense. So we are waiting for next session, Mataji. And I have no questions, Mataji, but this is very, very, I can say, it's like flowing very softly, Mataji, and at the end we got a kind of suspense and thriller, Mataji. And we will be waiting for next session. Thank you so much, Mataji, for taking the time and giving this most valuable nectar to us, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Supriya Mataji. And that's so true. It's, of course, Sanatan Goswami's writing skills that makes it so exciting. Thank you, Mataji.
Yes, Mataji.
True. As usual, very nectarian class. Thank you very much for your exercise. Hari Bo, Dhanvat Pranam, Gopi. Hari Bo.
Thank you so much, Vrinda Gopika Mataji. Thank you for your association in spite of your busy schedule today. Hari Bo.
Mataji. Mataji, it is a beautiful class.
Thank you, Rita Mataji. Thank you so much for joining from India. Thanks for your
Mataji. Attention. Yes, sir. Mataji, next time we will start next session in you also explain that Uddhav Gita. I want to listen from today's class is good. I want to listen that Uddhav Gita also.
Sure, Mataji, we'll do that soon.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai. I was waiting for my time, Mataji. I got no chance after all devotees speaking. That was a very, very beautiful class, Mataji. Very, very beautiful class. Mataji, I have one question. Why Balaram is always taking the party of Kauravas? You are telling that one, right? Balaram is taking the party of Kauravas. Did I get right, Mataji?
Yeah, he wanted to have good association with the Kauravas. You know, they had these family ties, so he didn't want to go against the Kauravas or go and attack them or make any enmity with them. He just wanted to sort it out, and he always had good relationships with Duryodhan, so he wanted to continue that, you know, maintain that relationship. So therefore, he initially went with a mind that he wanted to actually solve the problem by talking and then bring back Samba and Lakshmana with him. But then it so happened that what actually the Bhagavatam gets into heavy details of what all insults the Kurus actually did. You know, I just said one statement that what they made. They said the shoes wants to now sit on the crown. That's one thing they asked. Like that, there is a list of dialogues that they actually kind of said. They said, you Yadavas, you have no qualification, we are the emperor, we are great, and who are you? And just because of our mercy, you're having a kingdom to rule. And, like that, they went on and on. And Baladev was actually very upset, because once they started blaspheming Ugrasena and, Krishna, he got very upset. He said, what are you talking? Who are you talking about? You're talking about Ugrasena? You think Krishna is, who do you think Krishna is? He got extremely angry, and that's when he actually, took out his plow and he started pulling Hastinapur. So yes, Balaram, he always wanted to have a good relationship with him, you know, with Duryodhan and others. He loved Duryodhan because Duryodhan was a very nice disciple of his. You know, he learned very nice art of using the mace. So he was favoring them, but then when they acted so badly, he got extremely upset, and he just showed his power, what he could do. So it was initial reaction of Balaram was like he wanted to maintain some good relationships. After all, they were all connected through the marriage relationship, you know. So it's natural. It's natural for anyone. If you're connected as a, you know, through marriage, you want to keep good relationships with them. So that was the thing.
Oh, thank you, Mataji, for the detailed explanation. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Vinaya.
Very beautiful class. And always there is a suspense, Mataji, in your class. Like at the end, you keep that for the next year class. It's very nice, Mataji. We have to wait for that suspense to be open up in the next session. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you, Vinaya, Mataji. Thank you, Mataji, for your association. Anyone else has any questions, comments, or realizations you want to share? Mataji, is the question answer coming out this time?
No, Mataji, questions were not coming. Little it's coming, but it was not clearly coming.
Okay, next time I'll try something else. I don't know how to do this. Okay, so then if no one else has any
questions or comments. Can you just describe this? Okay. Or is it okay if I can talk to you offline? Because, yeah, this whole Brihad Bhagavata Amrita, like you were describing about Narada's journey. So, it's bifurcated into various chapters, right?
Versus
Prapanchita, and then Bhakta.
Yeah.
And then Priya. So in Priya, in Bhakta, I know it's about Prahlad Maharaj and Hanuman, right? So in Priya comes Pandavas?
Yes. Yes. I can actually give you the split up and... And yeah, actually that is something, yeah, I told in the first class, but then I didn't do the split up as we are moving in the story, because now Krishna actually, when after he spoke this part, right, when he just entered, when he's just entering the Yadu dynasty itself, Priya started, and then there is Priyatama. So I didn't give the correct chapter wise thing as we were talking because of the story, but
yeah, because that looks more good when you are talking, you know, in this, it goes with the flow.
Yeah, for the sake.
I was just curious. Yeah.
Sure, I'll give you the split up, Mataji. Sure.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji. So, thank you all so much for giving us your association. We can end the call. Vancha kalpata rubhyascha kripa sindhu bhayavacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai Brihad Bhagavata ki Jai Srila Sanatana Goswami ki Jai. Om Hari Hari
Mataji ki Jai. Hari Bol.
Thank you, Vrinda. Thank you for coming.
I like your story. I cannot learn it, but you teach us.
Thank you, Vrinda. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to teach you, Vrinda. I'm so fortunate. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.